Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Hearts for Jesus Weekly Podcast. My name is Garrett. I'm a pastoral intern here at Vineyard Church Albuquerque. I'm here with Pastor Perry. And yesterday, Sunday, that was our first service back here in the building. Really exciting. We were just so happy to see everyone. We had a service here physically. We're still doing the online service. One thing that was so cool yesterday was that we got a question from someone who was participating with us online. Question about what you were preaching on. And I was just, when you read the question up on the stage, I was just, I almost got choked up. Mm-hmm. It was, and I think that the emotion that I was feeling about it was because it was exactly what I was hoping they would get from that scripture that we talked about on Sunday. It was perfect. So the scripture was Isaiah, it was chapter 43, verse 1.
Right.
And it's, fear not, for, I don't have the scripture in front of me, but.
Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
Yeah, exactly. And the question that came in was, if God says that he's mine, how do I live free from the bondage of addiction?
Yeah.
And it was awesome because yes, God has said that we are his, and that means that we belong over here with God. And that means that things like addiction, depression, anxiety, sickness, illness, things like that, we don't belong there. Those things, they have no right to us. They have no claim to us. They have no power, no authority over us. Jesus has bought us. God bought us with all that he had. We belong there. We can live there as a child that belongs to the Most High God.
That's right.
And that means, just like this question said, that means, yes, you can be free from addiction, whatever that is, and anything else, and anything else of the world, the enemy, all of it has no right, no power, no claim to you.
Right.
So it was an awesome question. I got emotional over this question because I was like, yes, that's awesome. That's perfect. That's what I wanted people to hear. That's what I wanted them to know from this. And we didn't have a whole lot of time in the question and answer part, but we want to unpack it more here.
Sure. So. The way to start understanding that would be particularly for us in the Vineyard to understand kingdom. And here's what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1. These are important two verses. Jesus has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And just like you said, Garrett, that means my address has changed. Mm-hmm. I was in the kingdom of darkness, and now I am in the kingdom of Jesus. I'm in God's kingdom, and everything is new, it's brand new, and everything is possible because of the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
And it's true that all of us are addicted to sin.
Yeah.
We started sinning early, and we've regularly and consistently in many ways said no to God and yes to our own desires. And that creates habit patterns. And so it's okay to say every human being is addicted to sin. Mm-hmm. But when you get out of the kingdom of darkness and are transferred into Jesus' kingdom, you then have the possibility of living free from bondage of any kind.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, so cool. So awesome. So what if we were to put a step on this, what is the first practical step? So I want to go from living where I am now,
right.
and I love how the question was asked. So if I belong to God, how do I live there and not in the bondage of addiction?
Right.
So what would be the first step of breaking out of the bondage of addiction or anything where we're just saying as children of God, we're saying no, I don't belong here. This has no power over me. I'm a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
How do I start moving in that direction and living there?
Well, again, I love to say what Scripture says. In Romans 12:2, Paul said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hmm. And so the first step is really to think about what I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
And my mind is where it begins.
Yeah.
And I have to train myself to think differently. And I have to say, you know what? I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. And we sing that. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. And my identity has to change, first of all. And so if all I ever think and say is I'm addicted to drugs, I'm addicted to sin, I'm addicted to ice cream, I'm addicted to meth, whatever that addiction is, it can become my identity. And I have to be willing to change my identity and say, I am no longer an addict to this. I am a Christian who struggles with this. Because there's at least four issues going on. One is that we live in a sinful world that's had generation after generation of compounded sin.
Yeah.
And we know that some sins run in families. Abuse, alcoholism, certain kinds of sexual issues, they simply go down generation after generation. That's not unchangeable, but it is observable. Right. And then we can't deny that we all still have free will. I can live and choose even though I'm not perfect. And there's an accountability where I have to be willing, out of the new identity God has given me, to choose to believe. And that's why in Romans 6, Paul said, you used to be a slave to sin, now you should be a slave to righteousness. And so getting that identity, I'm now a slave to righteousness, is step one. Step two, he said, is don't offer the parts of your body to sin, but offer the parts of your body to righteousness. In other words, act out who you are. And I'm not saying that's easy, because making choices after you've formed some habits, those are hard things to do. And it's like my 12-step friends say, it's one day at a time. And sometimes it's 1 hour at a time. I say yes to God. I say no to my habit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's so powerful that what you said there. Something that I've observed in just being in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
You know, a person is trying to change their habits. They're trying to, you know, achieve a goal of a healthier lifestyle, whatever right. it is. You know, but I started noticing as a trainer that the people who would come in with an identity of I'm just not a very fit, healthy person. I've never been. My family wasn't. They've kind of just taken on that identity. And right. it's hardest for them to change any kind of habit,
right?
To change any kind of behavior, because they're still living under this identity of I'm just not a healthy person. And so it's just like you're talking about here. If we stay in that identity of I'm a slave to this,
right.
or this has a hold over me, or right. even if it's just I'm addicted to cigarettes, I'm an alcoholic,
right.
or something. You know, I think what you said was perfect. It's no, that's not who I am. It's breaking that. It's breaking that agreement.
Right.
It's breaking off that identity. It's breaking that tie, and it's taking back your power
right.
that you have, and it's saying, I struggle with this,
right.
but I'm changing that because I'm a child of the Most High God,
right.
and He loves me too much to leave me here, stuck here,
Amen.
Struggling in this.
Amen. I love the Christian recovery group called Celebrate Recovery,
yeah.
and their philosophy is that Scripture supports the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they really focus on the Bible, and they say, all of us have habits, we have hang-ups, we have hurts, we have heartaches, but we can change by going through a process. Now, I love that there are some events. Sometimes God just overwhelms you and you go from being addicted in one area to totally free. That happened to me when I was a young man. I was an alcoholic one day and I was a teetotaler the next, and Jesus simply changed my DNA.
Wow.
But several other issues in my own personal life have taken years and years of process. And so is it an event or is it a process? Yes, it is. It's both of those. We reprogram our behavior by starting with our minds and reprogramming how we think, who we are, and then we become accountable. And this is where some vulnerability is required. When I confess my sins to my brothers and sisters, the book of James, he says, confess your sins one to another and pray that you may be healed. Yeah. And there's something about saying to other people, I am struggling with ice cream, with cigarettes, with gambling, with sex. Pray for me. That is very healing. And we can get into an accountable community, a group of people who know our secrets, who pray for us, who don't judge us. And that's how recovery happens. And then we have to remember there's the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can change anything at any time in a yielded heart to Him. Sometimes it's a dynamic event. Most of the time, however, it is one dynamic day after another where I yield to the Holy Spirit. I submit my body to God. I give the parts of my body to righteousness, and I am accountable to a group of people, and I get the scriptures running through my head, and this is how I change my address practically from being an addict in sin and bondage to being a holy and righteous man. And it's a journey. All of us are somewhere on the journey. Nobody's made it all the way. Nobody really has a right to throw any rocks. I know I don't. But it is possible. Jesus said, the truth that you know will set you free. And there's layers and levels, but I want to increase my freedom every week, every month, every year.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And that's going back to what you said with in James, the scripture from James, you know, get around other people, you know, talk to them, you know, pray that you can be healed, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. It's so hard to do.
It is.
For a reason that I can't explain, but for me, it's just, that's so hard to do. You know, there's something that's just screaming inside me, and it's like, don't tell them this. You know, you gotta keep that hidden for your own good. You gotta keep that a secret. And you were talking about yesterday in your sermon. You know, you mentioned how in a church setting, you know, coming to church, you know, it's kind of we almost go into like an instinct mode. Where it's like, okay, we're walking in a church. Everyone smile. We're all doing fine. All right, that's our story. We're gonna stick to that. and it's almost like we just feel like we have to do this to not make things worse, to protect ourselves. And it's that instinct, for whatever reason, is exactly the opposite of what we're instructed to do for healing in Scripture.
From the Bible, here's what Jesus said when he was talking to Nicodemus. He said, the light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works be exposed. So we don't like to be exposed. We don't like people to see our dirty laundry. We'd rather pretend, we'd rather act like we're all clean and good. But in the congregation or the community of faith, the truth is we're all struggling. And I may not struggle with what you're struggling, but I'm struggling. And we got to get over our, let me just hasten to go and be blunt. It's pride. I don't want you to see how weak I am. And the truth is we're all very weak, needy, dependent, struggling, sojourners on a journey, and the sooner we get there, the sooner we can get to real life. And so church should be the place, the community of faith should be the place where you're free to be as transparent as you can be among a group of forgiving and loving people. Sadly, that's not our reputation in America, and we've got to change that.
Yeah, to go from being known as people who will judge and hate anything that we don't believe in to be known. I mean, that's not who Jesus was. We're followers of Jesus. Jesus was known as a friend to sinners.
That's right.
And that's who we want, because we're all sinners ourselves.
Right.
So yeah, that's we're followers of Jesus. That's who we want to be, as a friend to sinners. You know, we're after the life that Jesus offers.
Right.
You know, we've been ransomed. We've been set free, and we're all about moving more and more into that.
Yeah.
And living more and more into that freedom.
Right.
And into that peace and joy that Jesus, from the work that he's done, that he's bought for us.
Yeah.
And that's even, you know, what the podcast is about, the Hearts for Jesus. Well, amen. It's about moving our hearts are for Jesus, and it's about moving more and more into the freedom.
Right.
And, you know, whatever the freedom is from, that's why I love the question, how do I live free from the bondage?
Right.
And like I said, I'm in the back, like, getting choked up. I'm like, from this question that you're up here reading that someone asked online. Because I'm like, yes, that's what it's about. Like, leaning into Jesus.
Right.
Because that's where our freedom is. And yeah, there is freedom from this bondage.
Right.
And I was at lunch with a member of our congregation one day, and I was just starting to do the young adult life group. You know, I was asking for some advice on certain things, and one of the things we talked about was something along this topic of being free from addiction. Mm-hmm. And he shared a story with me that was just so cool, so powerful. And it was that, you know, back in his younger days with the people that he would hang around,
right,
was not the best crowd, right? So he started going to church, and the people that he hung around would start asking him questions because they knew that he was going to this church,
right?
And he said one day, you know, a guy with long hair came up, and he asked the guy, he said, so if I were to start going to this church, right, I would have to give up the drugs that I'm on, right? And he said, well, I can't find that in the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't, that's my best answer for you. Right. I couldn't show you in the Bible,
right,
where it says that. And he's like, come on, I would have to give this stuff up to be able to go to this church, to be part of that, to be present with God. Right. Right? And he pulled out this big, long, like, rolled up, like, joint. And he said, this, I'm talking about this. I've got to stop this, right? Yeah. And he said, no, I can't find that in the Bible. But I will tell you that God will take you as you are. Jesus will take you as you are. But you may find that he loves you too much to leave you there.
That's right.
And that's a piece of encouragement that I do want to share.
Amen.
with everyone listening. I need to be reminded of it myself, whether it's addiction to alcohol, drugs,
yep,
pornography, lust, right, sexual immorality, whatever it is. It could even be an addiction to depression, anxiety, just to a certain state,
right,
that maybe is more comfortable to be there,
right,
than it is to start to change and open up and talk and share and make yourself vulnerable, right? No matter where you are, Jesus will take you as you are. He wants you as you are. You can lean into Jesus because that's where your freedom,
right,
that's where your salvation, that's where your redemption,
right,
is. And you'll find he may just love you too much to leave you.
That's right.
To leave you in that place of bondage. He's that's come good. To ransom you, to set you free.
You know, the road to freedom is a road that has risk after risk on it.
Yeah.
And one of the risks early is to admit to yourself, I have this struggle, this habit, this heartache. And then another risk is to find a group of friends and build enough trust so that you could share with them. Because I don't think you should go and share your deepest struggles with just anybody.
Right.
But there are trusted friends that you can develop. And that's a risk.
Yeah.
To open yourself up little by little in a group to say, here's the real me. Please don't reject me. Please don't judge me. But this is the real me. And that's a risk.
Yeah.
And then the next risk is to practice James 5, where it says, confess your sin. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean to justify, to make excuses for, to rationalize. It simply means to say, this is a sin and I need you to know it. But the other half of that verse says, so that they can pray for you. And when you expose a weakness, it should be for healing, for deliverance, for freedom, not for judging, not for condemnation. There's a story in the Gospel of Mark where Jesus goes to the church of his day, the synagogue, and he sees a man with a withered hand. And it says the religious leaders were really watching to see if he would do something because it was the Sabbath, wrong day to do this. And Jesus called the man with the withered hand up front and said, stick out your hand. In other words, would you expose here in front of your community your greatest weakness?
Yeah.
And it took some courage on that man's part to not stick out the healthy hand, but to stick out the weak hand.
Right.
And as soon as he did, it was healed. And so his risk of exposing his weakness in the presence of Jesus resulted in healing. Now, it also made those guys mad. They decided, we got to kill Jesus. This is bad. But real freedom does involve a series of risks. And that's hard for most of us to do.
Yeah. You know, I love reading about the stories of healing that Jesus did in the scripture. And that's such an interesting, that's such a good perspective to have, to read it from the perspective of the person who is being healed.
Right.
That story is a great example. I like the, you know, the story of the man who was paralyzed and was lowered down to Jesus and, you know, friends and the faith that they had, but the vulnerability. I mean, there was a crowd there. Jesus, a crowd gathered around that place and Jesus was teaching and they wanted to get this guy up to him. They believed that Jesus could heal him, but he had to be totally exposed to this whole crowd of Jesus, here I am. I'm paralyzed. This is me. This is who I am. I have faith that if you want to, if you're willing, I know you can. You can heal me. And just the level of just self-exposure to all of it. And a lot of times it's if it's not in front of the whole crowd, it's at least in front of the disciples. They're exposing.
Right.
They're being exposed. And yeah, the stories of healing from that perspective are just so eye-opening to me personally. It's like this is where healing comes from.
Right.
You know, my instinct, my pride to keep this hidden, to keep this a secret, that doesn't lead to healing. No. That only leads to I'm trying to manage it myself.
Right.
I'm not giving God the place in my life that He deserves, to where He can do this work of healing, and I'm only hindering myself. So at the end of the day, what do I want? Do I want the freedom that Jesus came? And do I have the faith that if I open up here and press into this and lean into it and keep going here, then it can be done.
Right.
And that's what I've decided for myself is I don't want to keep living under the bondage of sin, of addiction, of depression, anxiety, fear. I don't want to live there. He said that I'm here. Jesus already wrote me into his story.
Right.
And I'm going to decide to live there. And that means not living under this bondage. Right. And the power that we have to do that is really, really remarkable. To take back power that we've given from ourselves to this thing that now has a hold on us is amazing.
And
we do have that power.
Yeah.
And you know, I think it's a powerful thing to just say no. Say no, I don't live here anymore. Right. This isn't who I am. This isn't who I choose to be. Whatever it is, I think it's powerful to name it. This addiction to this bondage here, this depression, fear, anxiety, this has no hold over me.
Right.
In the name of Jesus Christ, this has no hold over me because of Jesus Christ, with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
This has no power over me. I bind it up and I banish it to the foot of the throne of Jesus to await his righteous judgment because I'm a child of the Most High God. And that's who I am.
And then you have to walk it out.
Yeah.
Then you have to make sometimes, again, hour by hour choice to say yes to who you are and no to the habit, no to the sin, no to the bondage. And that's tough. We don't need to pretend that's easy to do. But it is, like you said, Garrett, leaning into Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know for me, many years ago, I came to Jesus and I said, I've got these three massive issues in my life where I am a slave. I've tried to be better. I've tried to do good. And I have failed. And I'll come to you, but you need to know, Jesus, I can't change. And it was amazing because he said, if you will just come to me and give yourself to me, I'll do the changing that you can't do. Yeah. And my testimony is that he has done that. He has taken a rotten person like me and changed me and helped me and transformed me. Some of it dynamically, some of it in a long process, but I'm a different person because Jesus has changed me, and he's still doing that.
Yeah.
And that's possible for any human being who will do what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to give a little encouragement. I also want to give a challenge to everyone listening here. What I'd really love to see happen from this episode is in the comments, just declare what you are not in bondage to.
Right.
You know, just declare it. I'm a child of the Most High God. Therefore, I'm not a slave to addiction. I'm not a slave to this addiction. I struggle with this. It's not who I am, and I'm changing it.
Amen.
Right. And just name that. Just call it out. This lust, this fear, this anxiety, this addiction. This has no control over me. I take it back. I'm a child of the Most High God.
Right.
Just declare that. You know, just declare that in the comments.
That's a good idea.
So that's the challenge. It would make our day to see comments coming in of people just saying, I'm a child of God. It says in his word, it says in the Bible that that's the truth.
Right.
That I'm, so I don't believe these lies anymore. I don't live here, and I'm not a slave, and I'm not under bondage to this.
Amen.
That would be awesome. That'd be a good challenge. Great for us to see. Yeah. Yeah. And I'd love to see that happen. I'd love to see that be the result of this podcast, of this discussion that we're doing. And one last bit of encouragement in walking this out, like you said, you know, declare it and then walk it out.
Right.
Right. But some encouragement for that second part, the walking it out. For anyone who's ever been snowboarding or skiing, right, you get down, you start at the bottom of the mountain, you gotta get in the chairlift, and it takes you all the way up to the top. Right. Now, if you're like me and you don't really like the cold very much, you know, it's like 25 degrees colder up there at the top than it was at the bottom. And you're like, man, I just want to get back down to the cabin, get in front of the fire and get some hot chocolate.
Right.
Well, okay, so this is where I am. This is where I want to be. Right. Now, nobody can just point their skis straight down the mountain and go in a straight line.
Right.
Right? That it's you go too fast. It's not sustainable. You can't do it. So you got to get on the edges and push snow and hit the brakes. But that now you're going sideways. Mm. Now you're off course. And if you don't course correct, you're going to ride off the mountain or into the trees or whatever's over there. Right. So, yeah, start walking it out. But we're humans. We're going to get off course. So what's important at that point is what you decide to do next. Your next decision needs to be one that will get you back on track. And then... yeah, you're probably not going to ride right down to where you want to go.
Right.
It's unsustainable. So you're going to be off track this way now. Okay, what's important now is the next decision. I choose to do this to get back on track.
Right.
And if you keep doing that, you'll get where you want to go.
That's good.
I've struggled personally with the kind of mentality to where if I have a goal and if I get off track, I'm so hard on myself about it that I'm like, I can't do this.
Right.
And I tend to throw the whole thing out the window.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I tried to do that. I couldn't do it. It didn't work. And it's like, no, that's not how it is. That's not how it's going to work. I'm going to be off track. I need to choose to get back on track.
Hmm.
And I'm going to probably be off track again. I need to choose to get back on track and just carry out that walk hour by hour. Day by day, choose to get back on track.
That's good.
And you'll, if you do that, you'll get where you want to go.
You will. Right? You'll get there.
But that's what the journey looks like.
Right.
And when you get there, you might look back at your journey and you say, well, it wasn't a straight line, but I got here.
I'm here.
Right? And that's what the journey is going to look like. So if you're off track, then make a decision that your next choice will be one that gets you back on track.
Amen.
And that's how we'll do this.
That's good. So. Proverbs 24:16 says, "A righteous man falls seven times and rises again." Mm-hmm. And I love that it ends with rising again, yeah. Not falling down.
Right.
And all of our journey is just like you said, back and forth, up yeah. and down, two steps forward, three back, yep. Get up, Jesus help me, and do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that's about the time that we have for this. Just really hope that this is encouraging, that this is producing hope, that this is just inspiring. I'm inspired, you know, from this conversation to just make that declaration. Yeah. I'm a child of God, right. So I don't belong here.
Amen.
This has no power over me. I choose to be here.
That's right.
The creator of all the universe wrote me into his story, wants yeah. me, calls me his own.
Thank
so
you.
This, no, no. Right. This isn't where I'm going to stay. I'm struggling with it, but it's not who I am. And just walk it out. So, Pastor Perry, would you like to pray for us?
Close sure. Lord, thank you that it's possible to be transformed into the image of you, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I pray for me, for Garrett, and for all of us listening, that you would help us walk it out step by step to change the address from a kingdom of darkness involving bondage and addiction to the kingdom of God involving righteousness and holiness. Help us, Lord, to get there. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes.
Amen. Well, we're looking forward to seeing some comments come in with that declaration. If you want to engage more in any of our other content, go ahead and head over to the website. Just do vcabq.com. Check out other podcast episodes. Check out some sermons. Pastor Perry does a My Walk with God video series to encourage and develop daily habits that bring us closer to God and help us in our walk with God. And so check some of that stuff out. We hope that it's inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it's helpful in your spiritual development and in leaning more and more into Jesus and experiencing more and more of the love and freedom that Jesus has for all of us. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you again soon.